Welcome to another episode of Open Doors, Conversations with Heart of the Father. I'm your host, Jacqueline Harper. Open Doors is a conversation about inviting God's love, presence, and power into our hearts. We are friends and teammates from Heart of the Father Ministries who share in the mission of setting captive hearts free through Unbound Ministry. We're so glad you could join us. Well, it is a joy to be back with Neil again for episode 34 of our Open Doors podcast. If you're a new listener, welcome. Today, Neil and I will be diving a little deeper into the fifth key of Unbound, the Father's Blessing. If you don't know, Neil is the author of several books, but most importantly, Unbound, A Practical Guide to Deliverance, and he's the executive director of Heart of the Father Ministries. If you're new to this podcast again and to Unbound in general, come check us out at our website, heartofthefather.com, to find out more about us and the five keys and Unbound ministry. One of the things we do is give our Freedom in Christ conference. And Neil, you and Janet just got back from a Freedom in Christ conference in the Diocese of Allentown, Pennsylvania. So can you tell us any great stories or a little bit about what happened there?
Well, every conference is very special, and this one was really special indeed. I just pick out two things from the conference. One is that there was a team well prepared for us to come, and when we do a conference, not everybody knows, but one of our goals is to go someplace, train a team, have them serve at the conference, get experience, so that there'll be a team left there. And so in the weeks following the conference, this team will be praying for some of the people that were not able to get ministry during the conference. And so that's just a real delight to see such mature leaders ready to go, catch the vision, and take it forward. The other real special moment was we had a young woman, about 25 years old, give a testimony, basically describing how she, having been abused as a child, had grown up really rebellious, left the faith, left her family, out in the world, filled with all kinds of hatred and different kinds of things, and God pursued her. And it was her mom and some others that were praying constantly for her. And what do you know, one day, you know, someone speaks to her about Unbound, promises to get her the book, and at the same time, she started going back to church, and she realized that, hey, if I want to receive communion, I need to go to confession. And she goes to a priest and confesses her sin. And confession goes on very long. And she thought, well, I've been away so long. Maybe they had Vatican III or something. This is different. And at the end of the confession, he said, well, what I just took you through was Unbound. And do you have the book? I said, no, but I think she said it was coming that day to her house. And wow. So she had numerous encounters, and she got it in three different places, and she caught it, and her life has been radically changed. So that was a thrill. That testimony was a thrill.
It's just amazing. I feel choked up just how much God pursued her. And when you said her mom prayed for her, just me, if you're a mom out there, that's a little tug on your heart. But it's a reminder that God hears our mom prayers, definitely.
Yes. Mother's prayers are very powerful, and it takes a lot of perseverance sometimes and a lot of tears, and yet the Lord does hear our prayers.
Amen. Well, that makes me excited for our Freedom in Christ conference this weekend. It starts tomorrow, May 6th, in Media, Pennsylvania. It goes all day Saturday. And there will be room at the door. So check out our website and look under events and see if you can join us. And you just don't know what God has in store for you. Plus, you get to hang out with Neil Lozano and the rest of our team. So we'd love to see you there. So this podcast is about the fifth key of Unbound, the Father's Blessing. And we know that in our conference, Neil, you talk about how all blessing is traced back to the heart of God. In Genesis, the first words God spoke to us were blessing. In verse 31, it says, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was good." And that's really the heart that God has for us. We're going to hear more about blessing, and it's going to be good. So stick around. You're going to walk away with something, a treasure. But I just wanted to ask you, Neil, if you could give us sort of a simple overview of the five keys, just quickly how they work together, and then get us to the fifth key, the blessing.
Well, I'm glad you asked it that way because they really do fit together. A lot of times we teach people the five keys and people sometimes miss one and they don't really catch how they're fitted together. They'll say, "Oh, this key of forgiveness, I use it all the time." And they might use another one, but miss the Father's blessing. And they think it's just a simple blessing or a good word or just asking God's favor in a certain way. But it's really bigger. It's really bigger than that. So if you look at the five keys, we begin with repentance and faith. It's turning to the Lord, surrendering to God, and there's a yielding to the Holy Spirit that takes place. And so I always think of the first four keys as the Holy Spirit working in someone's heart to bring them home to the Father. And so it's the action of God within the person. It's something we know he's doing. And we know that from the scriptures because Jesus came to reveal the Father. Mm-hmm. So there's this process that's going on that so many times people fall short of because they think of repentance and faith. They think of coming to Jesus, but fail to realize that Jesus really, I mean, we know he wants to sanctify us. We know he wants to provide for us. He wants to lead us. He wants us to walk as a new creation. But there's something very special about the fact that Jesus is actively at work in you to bring you home to the Father's mm-hmm. heart. So the first key, repentance and faith, surrendering to Jesus, opens people up. For most people that come to us, it's a renewal or going deeper mm-hmm. or saying words they've never said before, although they've had them in their heart. And some people are radically changed just by the first key. The second key is forgiveness. Forgiveness really is central to Christianity because as Jesus came to die to forgive us of our sins. So it's just so central that the Father sent his Son to die, sacrifice his life so that we can receive forgiveness of sins. Now, for us, we want to receive that fully. Mm-hmm. But if we refuse to forgive others, if we choose resentment over forgiveness, or we're under some sort of misconception of what forgiveness is, then we're going to be blocking God's love. And so we help people through forgiveness, and then we lead them to renunciation. Renunciation of all the lies of the enemy. Mm-hmm. Jesus tells us Satan is the father of lies. We renounce things that would be the consequence of the wounds in our life, the traumas in our life, things that we've believed. You know, things happen to us in life. We can either embrace more deeply the truth of God's love, and usually that's a process when it's traumatic, mm-hmm. but we can go after it in a way that deepens it, and we grab hold of it like never before. Or we can come up with other quick conclusions. God doesn't really care. He's not really near, and he's forgotten my mm-hmm. name. You know, so we may not say them out loud, but we swallow those lies and they affect us. And so in an unbound session, those things come to the surface and people get to renounce the lies that they have walked with. The fourth key is realizing that you're a child of God. And as a child of God, you carry his authority in every area that he's given you responsibility for. And you've been given responsibility for your own soul. And he wants you to be able to stand in authority against all the lies and all the designs of the enemy that would rob you and hinder you from yielding fully in these first three keys. So that all leads to the fifth key. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes people get like really free after the first four keys. but we train our folks to realize that it's not over. Mm-hmm. It's not over because we're very aware that the father wants to reveal himself to his son or daughter. And this is, perhaps it's one of the charisms of Heart of the Father Ministries. He gave us that name and we call upon it and we believe in it. And so many times people go away from an unbound session and they realize, I know the Father. I didn't know him before, but I know him now. And it changes everything mm-hmm. because, you know, we believe in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And if the Father is just distant, not there, we don't want to go there, we're afraid of him, then we're missing something of who Jesus is. I think it was Pope Benedict who said that if we don't understand Jesus' relationship with his Father, then there's something of Jesus we just will not and cannot understand.
Wow.
So if you love Jesus and you're meditating on his life and you're embracing his life, then you have to know that Jesus wants you, as you identify with him and become his disciple, he wants you to relate to the Father in the way that he did. His eyes were always looking to his Father. He only said what the Father said. He only did what he saw the Father doing. And he lived out this relationship, not just to model it for us, but that was his reality. That it was his eternal reality. But in doing so, he did model it for us. And he held out something to us that is so great and so attainable because we have been given a spirit, his spirit that cries out, Abba, Father. And that spirit wants to draw us deeper into the Father's love, deeper into the love of Jesus, and to understand the dynamic between the two.
Wow. I'm almost... don't even know how to respond. What you said, Neil, was so deep. I've been around Unbound and the Five Keys for a long time, but there's always something new, sort of a new insight, and you always take us deeper. How the Five Keys work together, how they are responses to the gospel, so simple. And they are present, but just the gift that God gave you in putting them together in a really simple way to respond and just... the complexity is made simple and the power of it becomes real. It's just pretty amazing to me. So
Amen.
Thank you. So you told us how these five keys work together and they lead us to the Father. But we do want to just know a little bit more about what is blessing? Like, what does blessing mean and why is it important?
Good question. You know, I had read a couple of books about blessing and heard a conference where they talked about blessing. And it just really, really opened my eyes. And it was in the background when I was writing Unbound. And I realized at that point how important blessing was. A blessing is a good word. The Greek word for blessing literally means a good word. A blessing is a good word that flows from the heart of God. But what I learned in these books was about the Hebrew sense of blessing. The Hebrew sense of blessing had to do with speaking well about a person. A blessing imparts something. A blessing empowers someone to prosper, to thrive, to succeed, and to have a pleasant journey in life. It's shalom, peace. And it's not supposed to be just like a goodbye. It's like, peace, take my peace with you. It's a gift. And words have power. Words were significant. We use words, I think, too lightly sometimes. But words can change a life. And especially words spoken by parents as their children grow. It can form their life and change their life, help them to see that themselves for who they are. So in a general way, when we speak blessing, it means to speak the thoughts of God into a heart of another person. Now, of course, that person's heart needs to be open to receive, but we are wanting to yield to the Holy Spirit. We want to be filled with love and compassion. We want to be able to look at people and see them and see things about people that maybe others don't notice, maybe some characteristic that we think God loves. And when we can speak that, it will awaken their heart, because they know, a lot of people know, that is my gift. Mm-hmm. But they're so filled with lies and self-criticism that they don't allow themselves to acknowledge, yeah, I really am a compassionate person, or yeah, I really am a good listener, or yeah, loyalty is one of my gifts. We can speak that to one another and bring it to life. And people remember words that are spoken, and it brings life to them. Now, of course, words can be destructive. I never thought of it this way, but I was having dinner a couple weeks ago with she spent most of her life teaching seventh grade. And I told her the story about when I was in sixth grade and my little Irish nun that was just off the boat established a play, and she was to honor our pastor, Monsignor Joseph Smith, for St. Joseph's Day. And we did Irish songs, and we had a song for Monsignor Joseph Smith. And I remember being on the stage, and she heard something really strange coming from the stage.
Oh, no.
And so she said, you guys stop. And then she isolated, and she said, just mouth the words.
Oh, my goodness.
And now, I've always thought of that as a joke because hey, I knew I couldn't sing. And I didn't even understood what the teacher in music class was doing when she was raising her hand and lowering her hand. I had no clue. So for me, it was a joke. But this teacher said, she said, yeah, and I bet all your life you thought you couldn't sing. And I said, that's true.
Wow.
And she, as a teacher, realized the power of the spoken word, mm-hmm. and that teachers are able to speak words of life or death. Now, I share that as a funny story. I don't have bad. I still think it's funny what happened, but it just gives you an insight into the power of the words. Mm-hmm. God's plan is that we would speak positive, affirming words of blessing for one another, that we would be able to speak something from the heart of God into the person that we're with. And Unbound Ministry really sets you up for that. You know, in families, we can make points of doing it. Like I'm so proud of my sons that they've understood this. Mm-hmm. And on special days of, confirmation or birthdays, my sons will stand up in front of the whole family and speak about the characteristics of their son or daughter and how proud they are of them. And, you know, kids listen. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they act like they're not, but they listen, and it stays. And so that's really, really what speaking blessing is all about, and there's power in it. So it comes to the Father's blessing, or the beginnings of the Father's blessing, or just blessings that come from God. We have to know that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. He came to destroy his lies. And he came to destroy sin, but also the consequences of sin in our lives. And when we enter into this gift of blessing or prophetic blessing, we are part of the restoration of people's hearts as we speak these words of blessing. And that's the ministry of Jesus, to restore and to bless our broken hearts. Mm-hmm.
So much there to unpack. I love the image of your sons getting up and blessing their children in front of others. It's such a great takeaway, a way to use this fifth key in your own everyday life. Just amazing. So you sort of touched on this already, Neil, and not to backtrack, but you know, the Lord led you to this understanding of blessing. And then I heard you share before that it took a while to get to realizing it was indeed the Father's blessing. So is there anything else you want to share about that?
Yes, I do. Thank you. The first thing I'll say is that all the works of the devil can be summarized in this. It's an attack on our identity as a child of God and our destiny. You know, God has a plan for your life. You have significance. There's a reason you were born, and there's a place for you in heaven, that God has an eternal destiny. And so when we began to speak blessing, we began to realize that these were at the heart of what was taken care of or addressed, I should say, in the first four keys, and that the restoration of our identity, our real identity, is that we're children of God, and that He does have a plan for our lives. So where does that healing, where does that restoration that come from but the Father's heart? Mm. You know, it's the Father's embrace. It's the Father's blessing. It's the Father's words. It's coming to the Father that you know you have a home. You know you belong. It's all those things. So we began to realize that it's the Father's blessing. And as we read through the scriptures and meditate on the scriptures, we realized that at the heart of the blessing that we all desire and need as children of God is what happened in the River Jordan. We had the blessing of the Father in Genesis in the beginning. We walked with Him. We had His favor, His delight. And then when Jesus came, the first thing He did was He identified with us. And for a long time, I didn't understand why Jesus received the baptism of repentance. Hmm. But He did because He identified with us, which is what He would do on the cross. So at the beginning and the end of His ministry, He fully identified with us. And He went into the river and He took us with Him, you know. And heaven opened up and the Father spoke. This is My beloved Son, in whom I take great delight, or in whom My favor rests, and whom I take great pleasure. It's so, so profound, so deep to think that Jesus identified with us. He took us with Him. Now, it wouldn't be till the later at the cross and resurrection and the coming of the Spirit that we could fully embrace what He did for us that day. But He took us in. And so we went into the river with Him. And now we don't receive the same baptism of John. We receive, we were baptized into the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and into the Trinity. And this dynamic of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is what we are to live out our lives as new creations. So meditating on the scriptures helped me to understand the richness of what Jesus wanted to restore to us. And He's given us images. He's given us the incredible story of the prodigal's return. And we're not going to talk about it a lot, but if you meditate on, wow, the prodigal turns and the Father's been waiting, looking, searching. But when he turns, what happens? The Father runs. He runs to his Son. It's so amazing. And he grabs him and he holds him. He kisses him. He puts a ring on his finger, and robe on him, sandals. He restores him to being his Son and to having full privileges, the full position of a son in his Father's house. And so these images and others are, as we meditate on them and as we grow in them, fill our hearts with an understanding of the Father's blessing. It's like a well, you know, that you're pulling out of continually. I mean, there's other images. The Father sings, the Father dances. There's all these scriptures of the Father's favor that that we can draw on when speaking the Father's blessing. So when we want to pray the Father's blessing, when we seek to pray the Father's blessing, you know, sometimes it's a blessing. It's good words. But in the background, we know that Jesus is bringing this person to the Father. And sometimes in the midst of our humble efforts to pray blessings that come from the heart of God, the person will encounter the Father like never before. And they've been prepared for that because they've gotten a lot of the junk out of the way with the first four keys.
Wow, Neil, that was incredible. If I was driving, I'd have to pull over right now just to let the Lord continue to do the work. He started in thinking about Jesus at the River Jordan and the prodigal returning. So that makes me think, though, practically, how does somebody who's leading an Unbound session, how do they give the blessing? How do they speak the Father's blessing? And do you have any examples or good stories about a blessing you were able to give?
Well, I think the most important thing is that they receive the Father's blessing. You know, sometimes we encourage people that we're training, just go home and be quiet and listen, and then just use your imagination and let the Father speak blessing over you. If you've learned about it, let him speak it to you. And a lot of times it's just awakened and realized that really was the Father's voice speaking to me. And it was so amazing. It just shows you how much the Father does want to speak to his children. And if we just open the door, and we can be sure if it's good words and it lines up with scripture and truth, revealed truth, we know that it's good stuff and you can grab hold of it. And the Holy Spirit working in you will help you to grab hold of it. So that's the first thing. And the second thing is be reliant on the Holy Spirit. So for my wife, she always starts just with, and the Father says, and she's believing that the Holy Spirit's going to give her words. And for me, a lot of times I just pull back and or go back to an image that I had earlier. I start with that image and I just begin at that point. And I begin speaking. And as I speak, the whole thing unfolds. But I have in my heart that somewhere in this message or revelation that Jesus is going to introduce this person to the Father. So I've done some ministry tips that are on YouTube, and it could help people that are really trying to grow in giving the Father's blessing. Just some tips on how to grow and increase your ability to speak the Father's heart into somebody else's. So I'm going to just end with two stories that I love to tell. One man I prayed with took him through the first four keys, and as I began to pray the Father's blessing, I saw him on a raft going down a river. And it wasn't like he wasn't free, but I knew Jesus was taking him someplace. And then as I just prayed out that out loud, I just, in my imagination, believing it was inspired by the Holy Spirit, he got out of the raft and went into the woods. And I sensed he was looking for the Father. And then he came to a clearing, and I can't tell you what the Father looked like. It's just something you just know. It's the Father. And I said, there's the Father. He's been waiting for you. And I never know what to say, and I've never said this before, but I said, and the Father's laughing, and it just released something in him. He started laughing and crying for about 5 minutes, and I don't know exactly what it meant to him, but I know that what I said pierced his heart, and it was something about the Father's laugh that really was important to him. So when we're praying the Father's blessing, we can't figure it out. We don't understand how to do it, but we're just trying to follow the Lord, either just through images or through words or a sense of his presence or a sense of his leading, or we're just looking at the person and just wanting something from God for them. One more story I'll tell is that I was praying with this man. It was one of our mentoring sessions. And at the end of, after giving the word of command, I said, is anything coming to your mind? I said, no, nothing's coming to my mind. But during this session, I kept seeing myself throwing these things over the trees and into the river. He said, but I never get images. This is so strange. So that's where I was going to begin. And so I began with that, and I began to think about him going, being raised up, and I kind of went in the wrong direction, but I could see, my eyes were open, so I could see that wasn't the right direction. And then I saw him sitting on the lap of Jesus at the right hand of the Father. And from there, he could look over his whole life and he could say, yeah, I understand now. I understand. I see it. I see it from above. And then you know, as that was done, I saw him kind of floating off to a mountain. And so sometimes things just unravel, and you just learn over time to go with it. So I saw him get about 10 yards below the peak of a mountain, and he had to climb the rest. I still don't know why. God didn't just put him on top of the mountain. Mm-hmm. It wasn't what I was doing. But he gets to the top of the mountain, and he And he puts his arms out. He raises his arms like we have on a lot of our pictures on our website. And there was a cloud above him, and I fully expected that the Father was going to speak into his heart. You are my beloved Son. In you I delight. I just thought, oh, this will be the opportunity to speak it by the power of the Spirit. And that didn't happen. So I was looking at the cloud, and it begins to rain. But I realized that it wasn't rain. It was teardrops. The Father was weeping over him. And it was so striking to me that what he needed to know of the Father, as the Father understood, and the Father wept over him. And then I noticed that the teardrops intermingled with the snow on the mountain, the white pure snow on the mountain, and created the river. And that was the river that he was throwing all his junk into.
Wow.
Now, I couldn't dream that up.
Wow.
But it was so, like, I can weep just thinking about it, because he saw his stuff being thrown into the river. And then he gets to understand that the river was created by the Father's tears. And as he wept over Jesus and poured out from his side blood and water, and Jesus became the river of life for him.
And isn't that such a good picture of the Father's heart for each of us, just that pouring out? So listener, if you long for more blessing, long for more of the Father's blessing in your life, and you haven't read Unbound or heard about the five keys much, we do invite you to check us out on our website, heartofthefather.com, get the book, find an Unbound team, get some ministry, and really experience the Father's blessing. And we will be praying for all of you listeners today that you would know the Father's love even more. Thanks for joining us. Bye-bye.
Amen.
Thanks so much for joining us today. If you'd like to learn more about taking hold of the freedom you have been given in Christ, check out our website, heartofthefather.com, and find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
This is Matt,
Jen,
Rachel,
and Jacqueline saying goodbye until next time.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
If anyone hears my voice and opens the door,
I will come in to him and eat with him.
And he with me. Revelation 3:20.